You have your Bible if you'll turn back to the Gospel of Luke, but this time to chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, looking at verse 39 through 56. Last week we looked at the earlier part of Luke's first chapter, the birth of Jesus being foretold, the message coming to Mary, Mary being greatly troubled at the word that came to her from the angel, puzzled, how can this be? And God to be gracious to her in explaining some of what God was going to do in her life. And her great response, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. This morning we'll pick up where we left off. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39, and then reading through the Magnificat down to verse 55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. The presence of Christ changes everything. It changed Elizabeth's world. Elizabeth is an old woman. That's not my evaluation. That's what Luke himself says. Chapter 1, he introduces the parents of John the Baptist. Luke 1, verse 5, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. But then an angel came and had news for her husband Zechariah, verse 13 of the first chapter. The angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. Elizabeth is now in her sixth month. You can see it, and you can see that she is happy. Finally, a child, and not just any child, but one who is going to do a great work for God in setting the stage for the Messiah to come. How can this be? There's a knock at the door. In comes little Mary. Even though they are relatives, they have not seen each other in over half a year. Before Elizabeth can get one word out about whole good news, Mary greets her. At the sound of Mary's voice, like a rushing wind, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby jumps for joy. In her mind, immediately, all of the various pieces fall into place. The lights come on. She now knows what God is doing. She knew that God was going to do something, something wonderful, but now the pieces begin to fall together. This is what it all means. Mary, you're going to have a baby, just like me. You can't tell it by looking at you, but 9 months from now, you're going to have a baby, and it's going to be a boy. And I know who your baby is. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth is no longer one who is sitting in darkness waiting for a great light to come. The light is beginning to shine. Her eyes are wide open. She's filled. Her eyes are filled with this great light. Her heart is filled with great joy and hope. The presence of Christ changes everything. And it does the same for you and me today. Regardless of where you are in life, what your home life is like, your work situation, your marriage, your hopes and dreams for the future, your hopes and dreams for your children. Regardless of what your past has been like, your sins, the failures, in the presence of Christ, everything changes. Darkness turns to light, discouragement to joy, doubt becomes certainty. That whole feeling of wanting to know, why am I even here in this world? What's the whole point of life? The presence of Christ brings purpose. The boredom over the tediousness of life, it's just the same old, same old. And it changes with the presence of Christ. The lights go on, and we just know that God is at work within us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and nothing is ever going to be the same. The presence of Christ demands a personal response. As Mary comes into this home where Zechariah and Elizabeth live, she comes in carrying the Christ child within her, and everything changes. There's a flood of praise that comes from Mary now. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." When Christ steps into a room, you can't just sit there and do nothing. If you do, you're dead. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the womb of Mary, walks into the room. Nobody there can just sit there. They've got to respond, and they have to respond personally. When Christ comes into the world, what we're celebrating this morning, the incarnation, the birth of Christ, when He comes into the world, you can't just sit there and do nothing. You and I are to personally embrace Christ as Mary does here. Notice what she says. My soul, my spirit, my Savior, all generations will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Elizabeth had done the same thing. Verse 43, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Martin Luther once said that the heart of religion lies in its personal pronouns. The heart of religion, real religion, truly being right with God, lies in the personal pronouns. The gospel does me no good at all if I know that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I need to know that I'm lost. I need to be saved. Jesus came to seek me. He came to save me. He came to die not just for the world, but he came to die for me. The lights come on for me. Eternal life is given to me. We're to embrace Christ with all that we have, head, heart, hands, the whole person. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary is using her mind as she thinks. As you read this and you compare it with Old Testament promises, her mind is filled with the promises that God gave to his elect people throughout history. Her mind is thinking of these promises. Her emotions now are just coming out in praise. She uses her voice to sing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless his holy name. And we're to personally embrace all that God is for us in Christ. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She embraces Jesus as both Savior and as Lord. She looks for salvation and for guidance. She looks for redemption and leadership. She comes to him to trust and to obey. She embraces the almighty power of God. Verse 49. The Mighty One has done great things for me. She embraces the holiness of God. Holy is his name. She embraces the mercy of God. His mercy extends to those who fear him. She embraces the eternity of God. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. This is who God is in Christ and always will be. Is this what you see when you come into the presence of Christ? When you look at the face of Christ, is it just a little baby? A little porcelain baby or something that's sitting under a tree that's in a nativity scene or something, or thinking of a real historical baby, the Christmas story, Jesus coming into the world. A wonderful gift of love, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is a wonderful gift, and we see that as we look at the Christ child on Christmas morning. But is that all you see? Do you see him as Mary saw him? The power of God, holiness, mercy, eternal God. And then finally, the presence of Christ brings just what we need. Mary says that the humble are exalted. Verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Those who are nothing in the eyes of the world, those who have nothing to offer, old ladies like Elizabeth, little girls like Mary, strange men like John the Baptist. I mean, he's eating grasshoppers, right? People who are nothing in the eyes of the world. It's not so much the rulers of this world, those who sit on thrones or in oval offices or on Capitol Hill or behind big desks on Wall Street, or the technical wizards like Bill Gates. It's not them. God chooses to use ordinary people. The humble, the lowly, the plain person, the one who is slightly below average. That's who God chooses to use. Paul agrees with this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, writing to the Corinthians and reminding them of who they are. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We're just plain people. But the presence of Christ fills us with the very power of God. You find that encouraging? God will use you. God will use me. Just ordinary people. The humble are exalted. The hungry are filled. Those who feel their own emptiness. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. You know, those who say to God, I don't know if I can make it. I don't think I have what it takes. I'm so tired. I feel inadequate. I'm out of my league. I'm running on empty. At this age, I just feel like there is nothing that I have to contribute to the kingdom of Christ. Mary says the hungry are filled with good things. Later, Jesus will say, and Luke will record it, looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. The hungry will be filled with good things. And then the helpless get help. The humble are exalted, the hungry are filled, the helpless get help. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to our ancestors. God doesn't forget. Remembering to be merciful. God doesn't forget. He who promised is faithful. And his promises are great. Great is his faithfulness. Great are his promises. There will be help for you in the battle against your own demons, your own besetting sins. There will be help for you to keep going when you keep getting knocked back down. Circumstances, pain, opposition from people who don't share your faith. Help in not being held down by your own past, the skeletons that come tumbling out of your closet, the painful memory of past failures. God helps the helpless. The presence of Christ changes everything. This morning, embrace his presence. all that God is for you in Christ. The Christ child, yes, but all that God is for you in Jesus Christ. And then draw courage, strength, comfort, joy, hope from His presence. Put yourself in the place of Elizabeth, in the place of Mary, and see Jesus Christ for who He really is. And His presence will fill you. Let's pray.